Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
It's not going well for the show's adopted team. And we just adopted them yesterday because they happened to be on TV when the show started. But the girls from Virginia, the softball team, trying to advance to the Little League World Series, are down big to North Carolina, 4-1 in the third. You know, don't know any of the girls' names, don't know their backgrounds, but it was on TV yesterday. Virginia was playing Florida, so I said, whoever won, we're going to choose that team to be the show's team. At least I did. Sean may have a different opinion. He may have a strong thought about the Louisiana team who's playing later today. But they're down, and it's not going well. Bottom of the third, they got two runners on for North Carolina.
Still a lot of time. These softball. Girls are tough.
It's softball, tough. So there's like three more innings. But
big inning coming up next. Middle of the order.
They got to get
at the top of the thing.
Sure. I guess it might be the middle of the order. Who knows?
I'm just saying.
They got to get out of this inning without giving up any more runs, or it's going to be a long hill to climb. The girls of Virginia won yesterday. Now they have a chance to go to the World Series. But North Carolina can go home. I think the Little League World Series is held in North – Little League Girls World Series may be held in North Carolina from what I can tell.
Oh, really?
From the graphic I saw, I think. So
I thought it was also in Williamsport.
I don't know.
I just thought. Yeah, I'm not saying you're wrong. I just assumed
I would have assumed, too, that they had room for the girls, too. But maybe they keep it separate. Like,
Williamsport.
Well, Oklahoma is the place for the softball college World Series, and it's in Omaha, so it's different spots. Maybe there's a booming Little League girl softball industry in North Carolina.
I mean, check the score.
Yeah, we're talking about the Kings or the Queens in this case. Queens in this case. Better be gender correct and specific. So that's going on. It'll be on TV. I won't say it'll be entertaining, but at least I'm in on this, hoping the girls from Virginia come back.
Bases loaded. Probably won't mention it again today.
Nah, unlikely. Unless there's a giant comeback.
Maybe at the very end.
Yeah,
we might close the loop on this.
Yes, if the girls from Virginia come back and win. So, what happened last night with no Astros baseball? Well, the questions leading up to the deadline were who was going to make a move. And my thought was because of the Astros and their all-in mentality, they'd make a big move to strengthen their pitching staff and, maybe get a hitter. But the first team to make a move in the AL West are the Seattle Mariners. They acquire Randy Rosarena. And you look at his numbers as a whole this year, and you're like, ugh, whatever. He fits right in with Seattle. Those guys stink, and he stunk. But that's because he was so bad the first 2 months of the year. The last couple of months, he's been good. So the Mariners acquire Randy Rosarena when he's hot. Like, you look at it, the .211 batting average, it's subpar overall. But the OPS of .893 in the month of June, over .900 in the month of July, yeah, that's a pretty nice pickup for the Mariners, and they need it. They needed a boost to their lineup, and they get one as they are a full game behind the Astros. The Rangers won yesterday, so now the Astros are only 2.5 up on them. So we'll see what the Rangers try to do, if they do anything, to stay in the race and pick up someone that might give them a boost. The Astros are rumored to be after a couple pitchers. Jameson Taillon is one of them. He is a Chicago Cub. So that's partly where they're going to kind of reside. He's okay. That type of pitcher where anybody who you're talking about, you're going to pretty much couch anything with saying, oh, he's okay. He's all right. That's where they are. Oh, no. a big double. I saw Sean shake his head, then look at the television. Big double by North Carolina. It looks like our Virginia girls are. That's phrasing. The girls from Virginia probably aren't going to come back in this one, unfortunately. North Carolina's putting it on them right now. But maybe they need a Jameson Taillon type. Just a guy who can eat up some innings. A girl who can eat up some innings. But right now, that's what the Astros are looking at, along with Eric Fede. I'm going to go with Fede. Is it Eric F-E-double-D-E? I'm going to go with Eric Fede as his name.
Fede?
Fede?
I'll go
It's probably Fede, right?
I'll call him Fede.
Fede. Fede, I added a little extra on. It's probably Fede.
Honestly, what I'll do is wait until the first time Todd Callis talks about him.
If he's acquired, yeah.
Just go, that's his name.
Yeah, but Russell Dorsey from Yahoo Sports says the Astros, along with the Cardinals and like eight other teams, are interested in White Sox Eric Fede. Nightingale's talking about, along with Chandler Rome. Actually, Nightingale also reported the Cardinals interested in Fede, or Fede. However we determine that name's going to be pronounced. But Rosenthal and Chandler Rome from The Athletic are reporting that the Astros are in the mix for Cubs starter Jameson Taillon. So will they have made a move by the time we're back on Monday? Who's to say? But those are the guys you can look at. You can convince yourself that that's the move that needs to be made or not. They're just, like I said in the past, I don't want to use the acronym JAG. I don't say that's a JAG because everyone, you know, as soon as you hear it, you think, oh, you're insulting them. But they're just guys. Just another okay pitcher that'll help you get to the end of the season. Will you be counting on Jameson Taillon in a playoff series? Unlikely. You hope?
If you do, things either went really well or really poorly.
For your other guys who are not coming back from injury, yes, or did get injured. Yeah. He is fine. He is, like we talked about, maybe more 4th, 5th starter than the ERA is pretty good. I'll give him 3 or 4 status. Like was rumored, what Dana Brown said, actually, in his hit this week. He was talking about trying to be in the realm where they could get a guy who would land in that 3 or 4 range in their starting rotation. And, you know, he's an improvement over Arrigetti. You'll take that. And Jake Bloss, certainly. So if you're on the lookout for a pitcher that the Astros could acquire, he's 32 years old. That's one of the guys you can look at as they try to bolster their rotation as they see the Dodgers coming to town. I'll ask you, Sean, you got your Astros hat on right now. It's been 7 years since that World Series now. There's been back and forth. There's been trash talk. Joe Kelly will be in the building, or you'll see Joe Kelly at least. Is the anger still there in you, or did you ever have any anger regarding the Dodgers and the back and forth that Dodger fans and Dodger players had? Or did you just brush it off, go, oh, well, we won a title. Who cares?
Yeah, it's that one.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. Not sorry. Yeah. There's no like hatred the other way.
Yeah, you might understand why they feel like,
yeah, and
they have a problem.
I get why they're upset with us,
and I'm fine with it.
I'm fine with it.
But the other way, I don't even think about you at all, to be honest with you, Dodger fans. Didn't they have a rally here at one point?
It'd be one thing
if a parade of Dodger fans came into town when the Dodgers were in town, and they act like walked down the streets banging trash cans or something. Didn't that happen?
I don't know. I feel like it did. Something that happened. Yeah, I just don't. I don't know. I don't like Joe Kelly.
Understandably.
Yeah, Joe Kelly's he's the one that's like stands out above the rest of them. But even if you think about it, like Mookie Betts wasn't on he was on the 2018 Red Sox team that cheated. You have Freddie Freeman who wasn't on that team. You have Shohei Ohtani wasn't on that team. Tyler Glasnow wasn't on that. Like, there's the Dodgers that you're going to see in Minute Maid Park this weekend. Like, none of them were on the team.
If you're hating the Dodgers,
Max Muncy was on the team.
It's like hating, like when people hate people boo Yordan Alvarez when he had nothing to do with the cheating. It's the same thing. Same thing. You can hate the fans and like hating the uniform. I get, but if you actually hate a player, particularly guys who said nothing and weren't even on the team, I'm not going to tell you to analyze yourself, because be a fan the way you want to. Yeah. But it feels a little empty to me to care that much about this Dodger team and what they have to say, because they haven't said anything.
Yeah,
like Ohtani wasn't even in the league when all this up.
Yeah.
Back when the Astros allegedly, quote unquote, stole their World Series. At least they stole the home games. Stole that World Series from the Dodgers. I don't hate Ohtani.
Yeah.
I don't
care. Do you think Teoscar Hernandez is going to get a standing ovation as a returning member of the
He should get something. He should get something on the scoreboard. Put a tribute video up on the scoreboard for Hernandez.
I'm sure. I think he played like 5 games.
That's enough for me. Just give me that tribute video. I want to see it. I feel like it's unlikely.
I'm coming home.
Yeah. Anything to honor the days of Teoscar Hernandez in an Astros uniform. I would welcome it. Once again, we talked about it yesterday. The game isn't on Space City Home Network. If you're looking for the game today because you want to root on your hometown club against the hated Dodgers, you got to go to Apple TV for that. That's how you see it. It's a nice doubleheader. We've got Texas and Toronto before the Astros game. If I'm looking at this right. No, they're going to play. Oh, it's regional. They'll play an hour earlier. So I don't know how Apple TV does that. I just thought they had one game a night when they do this. So Texas and Toronto are at 6:07. The Astros are at 7:10. So I guess they'll have just two feeds. I can't really tell you. I didn't know they even did two games at once.
Also doing it where it's a Texas – it's, you know, two Texas teams playing. Yeah. It's
and I brought it up because you probably want to pay attention to what Texas is doing at this point. They've played well enough to make this a race. As I said, 2.5 games back, they swept the White Sox, finished that series off yesterday, and they have Toronto coming to town. So all of a sudden, you're not just scoreboard watching the Mariners. You're also looking at Texas, who was creeping towards 500. The Astros took a while for them to get there. Texas is making that climb, too, only a game under 500 at this point. Charles Barkley, in a statement, talks about the dissolution of the partnership from TNT between TNT and the NBA. We'll get to that. It was released maybe less than an hour ago. It's a written statement, and Charles ain't thrilled with the NBA and their decision. If you missed it, we'll tell you what the NBA has decided and what TNT might do after a decision they don't agree with by the NBA. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So Sean suggested we would never bring it up again, but because there's actually a review going on in girls' softball, it's now a point of discussion during the break and maybe even on the show. And what looks like a great slide to get into third is being challenged. And Sean and I take issue. There's no challenges. Only because this game is on ESPN. Now you know what? It's big time now. So we're going to have a real review on this. And of course, my favorite part of it is with the camera angles that they have, the shortstop is blocking the best view of this potential play. So that's on. Maybe it's my Virginia bias in this, but that's a great slide. She's safe. Let's keep it moving. What are we doing delaying the game over a slide? A challenge in Little League softball.
Yeah, I'm so...
It's ridiculous.
It is so ridiculous.
It's already at a point where
It's been like 3 minutes.
Yeah, this is still going on.
It was most of the commercial break was reviewing this play.
And the coach was disgusted at the player for what he thought was out before it. The umpire ruled her safe, just looked at his watch. Like, oh, pick it up, guys.
Yeah,
there's some drama going on.
You know, this third base coach, we haven't seen eye to eye in the past. I agree with him now.
Yeah, he's in a matter of seconds, or minutes at least, he's changed my view of him. We'll see what the call is.
Safe.
Just rule her safe, and let's keep it moving. You guys don't have a real... Oh, thank you, safe. like we had 3 minutes ago. I'm like Jeff Van Gundy with replays.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Look at you, coach. Don't you feel silly?
Coach.
That silly clap that you're doing right now. Okay, let's go on to things that don't have anything to do with deciding a regional championship in girls softball. I mentioned before we went to break, Charles Barkley issued a statement, released it to the media, and they're putting it out on different sites. He is not thrilled with the NBA's response to TNT trying to match the offer Amazon gave them. And that's where we are right now. NBA cited Amazon's digital capabilities as a difference. So it wasn't just about the money. It's what Amazon could provide to the NBA in a digital way on their digital platforms that made the difference between sticking with TNT and moving on. Charles Barkley, clearly the NBA has wanted to break up with us from the beginning. I'm not sure TNT ever had a chance. TNT matched money, but the league knows Amazon and these tech companies are the only ones willing to pay for the rights when they double in the future. The NBA didn't want to piss them off. It's a sad day when owners and commissioners choose money over the fans. It just sucks. I just want to thank everyone who has been at Turner for the last 24 years. They are the best people and the most talented, and they deserve better. I also want to thank the NBA and its fans, the best fans of sports. We're going to give you everything we have next season. Signed, Charles Barkley, TNT Inside the NBA Analyst. I appreciate the sentiments, Charles Barkley. You better not show up on Amazon. Because that was what people were saying. Hey, just hire those guys. Just bring them on. Because a lot of Charles Barkley's disgust with this was the fact that the behind-the-scenes guys or women and men were going to lose their jobs. He leaned on that a lot, that he thought it was a travesty because the people who work so hard behind the scenes are going to have to find jobs because, you know, the NBA is a big deal when you have them on your network. I better not see him and Chuck and Kenny in 25-26 hosting a show on Amazon. This statement means you can't be on that network. You can't be on Amazon. I'm not saying it won't happen. Just drop a bag. But I'm saying you're setting it up where you're telling us you're not going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what's happening here, is that I always thought from the beginning the, like, oh my God, we're going to lose Inside the NBA was, like, a little overstated, because, like what you said, immediately after it comes out that Amazon's getting the package, they're also interested in hiring the TNT people.
I bet, yeah.
Like, yeah, because you have two companies that didn't broadcast basketball last year entering with NBC and Amazon. Never mind, they can just go to ESPN too. So there's a lot of ways for this what we care about is having those four guys on our TVs, and there's plenty of time for that to happen.
Yes, hard feelings, and as I said, commend Charles Barkley for fighting for the people whose names we don't know. But don't ever rule out Amazon going, you know what? We're going to spend on you guys what we spend on an episode of Lord of the Rings. You want to come over?
Yeah.
Would you like a high paying job where you're doing the same thing you always did? We welcome you. We'll see how that plays out.
Hey, The Boys is ending, so some money's going to free up. Yeah,
Gen V doesn't cost as much.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see it happening, but at least initially, Charles Barkley is letting it be known he ain't thrilled. And, you know, rightfully so.
I'm trying to get that Billy Butcher money.
That Carl Urban money. I can't pay Carl Urban in perpetuity. Let's give it to Charles and Kenny and Chuck and maybe Ernie. Although Ernie feels like the one holdout if it does come to it, where they're actually in a bidding war and maybe they can convince the other guys. Ernie Johnson, the reporting on him was like, he's not leaving TNT. He has other things he does with them. So as of now, it'll be NBA on NBC, NBA on Amazon, with no Inside the NBA until the negotiations actually really begin there. And we'll see how that plays out. I know it's a great show, but honestly, the moments after the games are the best parts of that show. None of it, I don't really care that much about them talking about the games. All this, the interactions between those guys is cool. That's what I appreciate. And that could be done without the games. Like, if they just wanted to give those guys a show, I would watch that.
Yeah, if they did it like how Shannon and Odrasinko do the nightcap during the football season, where they just hop on their computers after the after the Sunday night football game. I think it's – it might be after the afternoon.
Or maybe like inside the NFL, those shows where I like to see all those guys in the same studio.
Yeah.
Just for the – for because of the interactions between them. But something like that where it doesn't have to be attached to the actual games themselves.
Yeah. They could do a Mac show or a YouTube
something
show.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would watch that all the time. I don't need Minnesota versus Denver to lead into their commentary.
That is the thing, because they really don't talk that much about the games.
No. And they could talk about the best things in the week, or maybe they do twice a week. I don't know what they would want to do. But I hope in some way that show remains, but I don't need it to be attached to a network that calls the games or broadcasts the games.
They don't need to be throwing to Ian Eagle and Stan Van Gundy in Milwaukee for that show, Sixers Bucks.
No, that show can thrive without. Nice play. I'm sorry, she crashed headfirst into to a wall. That's going to be on SportsCenter.
That's the heart that Virginia softball show.
Yeah, they bounced back. They're now in kind of in the game 8-4, and she made a great play. As much as we've been joking about some of the aesthetics of a challenge in a Little League softball game, that play is going to be shown in a lot of places. She went head first into the wall, made the catch for put out on a foul ball. It was look at it again, Sean. We're looking
straight face first.
Big play on her part. No one even went over to check on her.
No,
isn't that where we stop the game and go check on the athlete?
She's tough.
She made a great play. You guys,
Kyle Tucker does that. He misses a month. You know?
Oh come on! It was a foul ball off his shin.
She ran face. She's a 12-year-old girl, ran face first into a fence.
Kyle Tucker's like, yeah, but she got that little face protection thing on.
Oh, whoa.
I didn't say I would say it. I said Kyle Tucker would say it.
Kyle Tucker patriarchy.
Not me. Kyle said it, not me. Somehow that baseball missed the shin protector on Kyle Tucker, and we've been dealing with this for 2+ months now, and it will continue as well.
Dana Brown said he would be disappointed if it if he doesn't come back before September. what a way to set expectations.
Yeah, because even before that, he was discussing if it was August or September, then I would be really concerned. But if he doesn't come back before September, I would be disappointed. So I guess all
that's not ruling it out.
So exactly. He didn't say it's impossible, and also suggest that Kyle Tucker and our August 15th date may be a little too quick.
I'm taking the over on August 15th.
And this is all about his response to whatever injury it actually is and the work he's doing, because he's out there doing the light stuff to try to get himself back. So I don't know if that's a pain tolerance thing or strength in the area, but they're just waiting for him to properly respond to working out so they can continue to build him up. And that could take, I guess, 3+ months if Dana Brown's words can be read into. Maybe we're talking about Kyle Tucker coming back in September. Cool.
No, well, we would be disappointed if it's September.
Yeah.
Us and Dana Brown.
I would have needed him to say we would be shocked. Not that that matters with the Astros timeline, but we shocked if he doesn't come back till September.
We expect him to come back in August.
Something like that.
Would have been nicer.
But to our point,
saying the word September is just like, scary. Oh my God, there's no games left.
That's nuts, yeah. But to our point, we told them to stop putting a timeline on things because they're never right about it. So he's not taking our advice specifically, but he's in along those lines. If he's not back by September, I'll be disappointed. But I will not rule it out, so you can't use this against me later. I appreciate the being adaptable. It doesn't feel great, but they're setting it up where we're not going to even promise you that he's going to be back at any point. You'll know when we know. It's how it reads right now.
Love hearing that.
Hey, so a bat may be more important than you think if the Kyle Tucker thing will last into August and maybe into September, although it would disappoint Dana Brown, the GM of our Houston Astros. So we're going to move on to the Texans, because at this point, the only person you really have to worry about is Joe Mixon. And he, by the way, he has until September to be back before it's a problem, too. So now the question is, Sean, since we always like to do this, who's back first? Joe Mixon or Kyle Tucker? I'll let you think about it.
Okay.
We'll talk about that when we come back. We'll also hear from Bobby Slowick. He has some strong words and in a positive way about Stephon Diggs and C.J. Stroud. Very complimentary of C.J. Stroud, like everyone else. Eric, I see you. You want to talk about Kyle Tucker? Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. But before I go to break, I want to talk about Restaurant Week. ESPN 975 is a proud partner for Houston Restaurants Week in 2024, and it's time to raise some money for the Houston Food Bank. For you, it's simple. You dine out, you do good. Choose from over 400 restaurants to visit for lunch or dinner. Select from their prefix menus, and a portion of the proceeds go to the Houston Food Bank, plus you're supporting local restaurants. It starts August 1st and runs through September 2nd. Go to HoustonRestaurantsWeek.com to find all the participating restaurants. So it's a chance to buy local, support the Houston Food Bank, and eat great. I don't see the downside there. So go to HoustonRestaurantsWeek.com to find out about all the restaurants that are going to be involved in this great charity. When we come back, we'll hear from Bobby Slowick. We'll hear from Eric as well. They're at two different levels, but I got a feeling Eric might be more entertaining. We'll see when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We start with Eric. He wants to talk about Kyle Tucker, who may not be back. Well, it would be disappointing to the general manager if he's not back by September. No real timeline for his return. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Bill, great show. So with Kyle Tucker being hurt this long, do you think that the Astros can re-sign him for less in the offseason? Also, I heard they're trying to get Isaac Paredes from Tampa Bay. And are you going to go see that movie, Long Legs?
I will start, as always, back to front. I will see Long Legs at some point. I'm not sure me cowering in a theater is a great look for me, so I might just wait for that to come out digitally or whatever streaming service it makes it to. I have enough of them that eventually I'll be able to see it. Paredes, yes, that was the topic. John Heyman, we played some sound from him last week about Isak Paredes and his potential of being an Astro. That lineup would suggest the way it fluctuates between being pretty good and then also being pretty awful, it may need an extra bat, and it's a long-term thing too, as Heyman talked about, that he could play first this year, and then speaking of guys that may not be signed, if Bregman's not coming back, then he could go over to third. As far as Kyle Tucker's concerned, no, I don't think it works that way for players. Yes, I know I missed time. I know I was terrible in the postseason, but give me all my money. That's how the negotiations will go. The Astros might balk at it, mostly because of the years. He'll be in his upper 20s when it's time for him to sign, but lack of availability generally never stops a player of his caliber from getting his money. I mean, just how it is. That would be reasonable, but they're not getting a discount because a player would say, you've had me discounted for years. The system sets up where I can be great, and I have no recourse for a couple of years, and then there's arbitration. This ain't the NFL where I'm just going to sit out and then get an extension. That's not the way it flies. So, no, Eric. Kyle Tucker's going to ask for it all. And then it becomes a thing where the Astros are going to do something they've never done before if they give him his money. Because the Astros don't give out long-term deals. And Kyle Tucker's going to be a guy who's going to ask. We're going to assume he's going to ask for all the money and all the years. Generally not the Astros approach.
And I know it was 2 months ago now. But when he played, he was awesome.
Yeah.
he was awesome.
We may forget because it's been a long time.
I think. He left the game the home run leader in baseball.
Yeah, so Kyle Tucker will tell you, when I'm on the field, I'm great. And he would also say, y'all been paying Lance McCullers for a couple years now, and he don't play. Why would I take a discount? What are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. I mean,
man has a point.
I mean, and then if I'm the Astros, I'd say, we've learned from our mistake.
Oh.
We've learned from our mistake, so we're not doing it.
That's always my favorite, is when it happens with within teams or across the league, where you go, well, that they signed a terrible deal. Sign me to a terrible deal.
It won't. I know it sounds dumb, but it won't be terrible with me because I'm going to be great.
Hey, they made a mistake. You make a mistake.
Yeah, but aren't we supposed to learn from our mistakes?
Nah.
Not this time, though. Continue to make those mistakes. It's me. It's Kyle.
Remember?
I was great before I stopped playing baseball.
Remember the last catch of the 2022 World Series?
Yes, but we also remember all of your 2023 postseason.
You know.
Had a bad run. Then I got hurt.
But you know, I forgot how we take the 2023 postseason performances by Astros hitters as gospel. Never mind the fact that they would not have won the Twin Series without the contributions of
one Jose Abreu.
Yes, and that's why he's been rewarded with another contract extension.
No, that didn't happen. No.
Oh.
So we're just going to say 2023
cleanup,
the outlier. So Kyle Tucker bad in 2023, an outlier.
If I only look at those two things, I'm like, I throw out the 2023 postseason as far as like the actual performances between these guys.
Yes. You're not going to lean on that when making your determination about how much money and how many years.
Because, again, I'd be like, Kyle Tucker's asking for a new contract. Got to give this first baseman a new contract.
He won us a series.
Yeah.
And Kyle Tucker, you might say, it'd be harsh to say, he cost us because he wasn't able to live up to his regular season. Yes.
He made it way harder.
His lack of performance hurt us, but we still had a chance. We had a game 7 that we lost. We didn't win a home game in that series. Kyle Tucker's not at fault for that. He played poorly. It's not going to affect his contract. Neither is him being absent for 2 months now, maybe going into a third, and maybe longer, depending on what Dana Brown gave us earlier this week. So, no hometown discounts. Just give him all the money if you want to keep him. Pena, I see you. You want to talk entertainment, which can mean several things. What's up, Pena?
Hey, what's up, Dale? This two-star underdog is a freaking grind, man. I'm on my junior year, and I'm barely about to start because the guy tore his Achilles, man. And I'm with North Carolina. It's a freaking grind, dude. Where are y'all? Are y'all updates on that? On y'all, y'all road to glory. And what was I gonna say? I finished. Guys, I don't know if you watched it. I thought it was a pretty good ending. How do y'all feel about that? And have a great weekend.
I don't know what you said about the show. And you always hang up, so I don't have an answer because I don't know what you said. If you were trying to struggle through his phone breaking up and trying to figure out what the hell he's talking about, it's an inside thing for the show. We talk about it all the time. He was talking about EA college football. It gives you the option of picking if you want to be a 5-star recruit. You create yourself. And you try to go up the depth chart until you're playing on a weekly basis. He instead of starter or an elite player, he picked underdog, which means you are a lower level player with less attributes. So you have to build yourself up. So that's why I said he hadn't been playing until his junior year. I would advise you. I know you want to take the hard route, but if you want to play football and not sit on the bench and study, maybe not pick two-star underdog and then go to a Power 5 school. It's a rough road that way. If you want to play and not be bored, maybe pick a 3-star and go to UTSA or pick a 4-star and go to UNC like you did. I understand. I appreciate the grind.
Yeah.
But don't complain about it now. Don't run from it, Dame.
Yes. Especially in this new era of college football where
you can transfer
too. You can just transfer.
Like get out of there.
Hypothetical 3-star quarterback that went to North Texas transferring to LSU. Hypothetically.
Because
I know this borders on to talking about our fantasy team
it does.
Territory.
But he called in, so I'm trying to explain it to people because through the breaking up of the phone, he was saying things that I don't know how many people knew what he was talking about.
No, that's good. I just don't want to like
we're not gonna get into what we're doing.
Whole thing about what I'm doing. But
yeah,
just
joking
know.
About you coming back from your week off and the grind you went through to build up rice is fun in the first segment when you're back. But on a Friday, it's like
I'm not going to talk about the recruiting battles I'm in now.
Unless you bring a 5-star to Rice, then I want to hear about it.
SMU is kicking my ass.
I read Lashley's a killer on the trail. I don't know if you heard. And they got all that Metroplex money too.
I know they're in a power conference too.
Barely.
Although the American's a power conference in my eyes.
That's what you tell everybody every time they come calling, asking you to, hey, you want to come take this job? Hey, I'm in I'm the greatest job in the world. I'm in a power conference.
In one of the best cities for football talent there is at a great university.
That is Sean.
I'm 100% committed to
that. That is Sean's answer every time someone in the media asks him whether he's going to take another job.
That's 100% committed to the Rice House.
Yes. We'll get to a guy who probably won't be saying things like that when he's up for a head coaching job in the NFL, Bobby Slowick. He feels like the next in line. Although Ben Johnson, we thought he was taking a job, and he decided to hang out with Jared Goff for another year. Maybe Bobby Slowick does the same, considering what he said about C.J. Stroud. So we'll get to that. We'll also talk about actual head coaches in college football, not ones who just do it on PlayStation 5 like Sean does. We'll probably do that in the second hour of the show. Also, Michael Carroll will join us to maybe he'll randomly talk about the show that Pena was trying to get to before his phone broke up. I don't know. It's also Deadpool and Wolverine week. Twisters is doing well. Hell, we've got a meeting here on Saturday. Well, tomorrow. Just say tomorrow, Del. We've got a meeting here tomorrow. I think that's going to be movie time for me. I'm going to show up to the meeting and then go to the movie. I don't think I'm going to call in from the movie. That might be a little insulting.
Oh, I thought you were going to say this meeting tomorrow is going to be a movie.
No. No.
Wow, when did you become 25?
No, I don't say things like that, and I also know the content of the meeting wouldn't fit that term. It'll be fine. They'll feed
video.
Us. They'll feed us, which is cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
As long as you stay away from a certain chicken place, I'm going to be good. I'm not going to mention the name. I slander them enough.
Early reports say that you'll be happy.
I've heard that.
Okay.
I've been told that chicken place with their
awesome sauce.
With their great sauce, yes. I'm not even joking about that. With their great sauce, you can figure it out. Will not be available tomorrow. We'll deal with something else and enjoy it. So, enough about me and the meeting. Bobby Slowick coming up next. And then, in the second hour, as I said, we'll get to some actual college football conversation because Dabo has said some things about his portal stance, and Paul Feinbaum went after Matt Rhule, because why wouldn't he? We'll talk about that when we come back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
The Texans were on the practice field yesterday. They're wrapping up their work today as well, if they're not already done. But Bobby Slowick joined Chris Long on his podcast to discuss C.J. Stroud, among other things. And if you're the coordinator for maybe the best, second year quarterback in football, excuse me, but maybe best quarterback under 25 in the NFL.
Best quarterback under however old Patrick Mahomes is.
Exactly. Oh. That's up for discussion, I guess. You have him. Nah, we'll get to it a little bit later. Sean threw me off. It can be a discussion, but maybe we'll get to it in the second hour.
Yeah, sorry.
How dare you bring up a football topic when I already have my own football topic?
sorry. I just wanted to clarify.
Big C.J. Stroud fan in there, like a lot of you are. But so he was on with Chris Long discussing C.J. among other things. But he got into something that we probably don't talk about a lot, C.J. Stroud's footwork. We see his ability to read a defense, make quick decisions, and even do some off-platform stuff, which you might have considered a weaker part of his game, particularly before we saw him against Georgia. He felt like more of a traditional, I'm a stand in the pocket and rip it type guy, and that's certainly his strength. But he can move a little bit, make plays off-platform. He certainly can do that. He proved that last year. And footwork is part of that. Getting your body in a position to make those plays, whether you're in the pocket or out. Here is Bobby Slowick comparing C.J. Stroud to some of the greats and maybe the greatest quarterback of all time.
On that, I love that you use Burrow as a great example. Brady is the best example. I mean, we've thrown on and watched Brady. We've watched Breeze. We've watched Peyton, all the old quarterbacks. You could always – I shouldn't call them old. They'll get mad at me. But, yeah. But,
you know, the shoe fits.
Oh, you said it, not me. No, but we've thrown on all their film. I think it's always good to take those and learn from those. And Brady was elite at doing that. You know, how he got to the top may be different, but always getting to his launch point in the pocket and then being able to navigate push and being willing to take what the defense gave him in between his special plays made him an extremely efficient quarterback, you know, and that's something that CJ is really embracing. And even right now working through in a very competitive camp.
I love a guy.
Bobby Slowick with Chris Long on the Greenlight podcast. This combination, we're likely only going to have them here for one more year together. If you could squeeze a third year out of Bobby Slowick, that'd be cool. It just doesn't feel like that's how these things go. You've got young quarterback with young coordinator. This coordinator is from the Shanahan tree. It feels like, all right, he got his 2 years in. He put his time in. Some team's going to come calling. Now, the thing that might say the Texans is there may not be a job open that he wants. I think that's the only thing that keeps him here for a third year, because we expect the improvement to continue, the offense to be really good. All the weapons are there. We're going to hear from Slowick a little bit here on the newest weapon to the Texans, Stephon Diggs. But you just have to hope for bad jobs to be open. Somehow Mike McCarthy keeps his job. Or maybe for whatever reason, Slowick doesn't want to work under Jerry Jones. Thinking of other hot seat types. Who does he want to go to New York and work for the Jets and Woody Johnson? That's another one that could be available pretty quickly. It's the only way I see him not leaving. The jobs are bad. The ownership groups he doesn't want to work for. Because if the jobs are out there that are good, I think he's gone.
Doesn't want the Philly job, or the Philly job doesn't open.
Yeah, I think he would. The Philly job feels like a good one. He would have to not want it. He would have to, or that one would have to not open. Like yeah. Nick Sirianni would have to figure it out. Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore, the two new coordinators, get the job done, and Philly's on a roll again. I think that one would be a good one. Young quarterback, unless he doesn't like Jalen Hurts, feels like he would take that job. So. Maybe these Bobby Slowick sound bites, maybe relish them because there may be only a year of them left. And a guy who might help this team reach great heights along with Slowick and CJ Stroud is Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs, who didn't start a fight yesterday, but was the recipient of a little hit from Jimmy Ward that began a fight between the Texans offense and defense, has received rave reviews from everyone with the Texans, and here's his OC talking about what Stephon Diggs can provide beyond just simply catching a football from CJ Stroud.
One thing I think that people underrate with Diggs is how good of a ball in hands player he is. He is a very, very good runner when he has the rock. So I think even just me going into it before he wound up coming here and I was watching the film, I knew he could run routes. I knew he was he had elite ball skills, down the field for sure. He can track it better than most anyone I've been around. And he knows how to play off defenders to finish. But I was not expecting what I saw once he caught the ball. And there were a lot of underneath catches he had that I think most receivers in the NFL were probably getting 10 yards on, and Steph was taking them to the house, or he was taking them for 25. Or, you know, it was a throw he caught at 4 yards that probably most guys would get 6, and he got 12. And how big of a deal that is for us in this offense, like the difference between 2nd and 4 and 2nd and 1, or – you know, 2nd and 7 and 1st and 10, like for us, that's everything. You know, the more we can stay on track, we really believe in what we can do as far as being efficient until we can get an explosive. So I really enjoy that part of his game.
Yeah, watching him in the AFC East for years now, he's tough to bring down, annoying because he was doing against my favorite team, but the short choppy steps make you think, hey, he's not really moving that fast. He breaks tackles. He's hard to bring down. Even as he gets, you know, up there in age for a wide receiver, he can still be productive there. It is going to be a big year for motivation when it comes to Stephon Diggs. A lot of people talking about how the Bills' offense and Josh Allen got better when they stopped emphasizing him. They got more diverse. The turnovers dropped because Josh Allen wasn't trying to force feed Stephon Diggs. It's a big year for him to show that he's going to miss me more than I miss him. And the Bills don't have a like replacement for Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs got himself into a pretty good situation. I mean, Josh Allen has certain attributes that no quarterback does, but C.J. Stroud's a pretty good, if replacement's the right word, I'm not sure, but pretty good guy to fall into if you're not going to be playing with one of the more physically gifted players in the league anymore, Josh Allen. Is Khalil Shakur and the rest of that wide receiver core going to make up for Stephon Diggs? I have my doubts. But, hey, maybe throwing to James Cook and Dalton Kincaid will be enough for the Bills, as they're one of the teams that people are wondering about. The Texans, I don't think there are many questions. The Bills are one of those teams who has quite a bit. Like, what are they going to be? Is that a team that is ready to take a step back, or is that a team that is going to prove some people wrong? If you look at that division, a lot of people believe the Bills are still going to win it. They just may not be a Super Bowl contender anymore. I don't really disagree. Until someone takes them out, maybe you just got to go with them. Do we trust Aaron Rodgers' Achilles? Do we trust the Dolphins, who always have late season swoons? So
I was going to say, I don't trust anybody in that division.
It's a division that may have like three playoff teams, but I don't know if any one of those teams you would believe is a real contender.
I think there's going to be two playoff teams out of those three, but I have no idea which. I could see either one of them falling flat and winning six games.
Yeah, it's funny that thought, because the Jets have a good defense, and you think the combination of Breece Hall, Aaron Rodgers, with the caveat, the big one, if healthy, and Garrett Wilson would be enough to at least make them not fall flat. But the offensive line is not great. Is this a team just beholden completely, an organization beholden completely to Aaron Rodgers? And maybe he's now just an old dude who's coming off an Achilles, and he wasn't the same even in Green Bay in his final couple of years. He was fine, better than fine, but, you know, the last time he played for the Packers, he lost to Jared Goff in not a winner-take-all because the Lions couldn't make the playoffs, but do-or-die for the Packers. He couldn't beat the Lions for a chance to get to the playoffs, and maybe that jump-started the Lions in 2023, so that's way back in 2022. So Aaron Rodgers hadn't played football in over a year except for, like, four snaps. What is he going to be? The Bills lost older guys from their defense. They're transitioning into a different type of way of playing offense. And then the Dolphins is always going to be like that offense is going to be really good early. But if they see better teams late, how are they going to respond? So I think you're right. Questions abound for that division. But if things go right for all three of them, they could throw three playoff teams into the mix. And then they can all lose in the divisional round, because I'm not sure any of them are real contenders. We'll come back with more from Bobby Slowik. He's talked about C.J. Stroud, and we heard from him talk about his footwork. Something else he got into was his ability to make throws, and really applauded his arm strength as well. So we'll do that. If we hear anything from the Texans today, we'll get to that as well. And we also have a giveaway to do. If you're a hunter, stay tuned. We're going to give you some tickets to the Hunters Extravaganza that begins next week here in town. 1 hour in, we'll be back with hour two when we come back. But first, let's talk about MyBookie. Maybe you think Josh Allen's winning an MVP. Maybe you think that belongs to C.J. Stroud. You can bet on that at MyBookie. Just go to MyBookie.ag, the place where you can bet pretty much on anything. So, I'm not sure the Girls Little League World Series Regional is there, but it may not be that far away. MyBookie.ag provides you the chance to bet on the Olympics. They even have a big graphic up there talking about the Paris Olympics, so you can bet on that. Track and field, the soccer tournaments going on, all that. Shout out to the U.S. for winning yesterday, the women at least, 3-0. So whether it be sports betting or the live casino option, MyBookie gives you the opportunity to make money. if you like a live dealer, they provide that to you. So the cards just don't pop out of nowhere. That you see someone dealing you your cards when you're playing the likes of poker or baccarat and blackjack. And of course, remember that promo code BET975. It's a thing you use to make your money go further, whether you're signing up or you're an existing customer. MyBookie wants to help you win. Go to mybookie.ag. And just remember, you can bet on anything, anywhere, anytime with MyBookie.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.